We're on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, three lines up from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan, Ezohi Mora, the Ezohu Kibud. We know that we have a mitzvah in Parshas Yisro, Kaveh Savicha Vesimecha, and in Parshas Kedoshim Ish Imo V'Oviv Tiro. One is Kibud Avaim, the other is Mora Avaim. What's the difference between the two? We call one honor, the other reverence. Ezu Moro, says the Braisa, She'eno Omeid, lo Omeid bimkomo, lo Yoshe bimkomo, lo Sosas dvar lo Machrio. We have here four examples of Losases. This is what we call an Iser Ase. In other words, even though the Torah formulates the mitzvah in a positive, Moro, Tiro, but nevertheless, the content is a losase. And let's go through the four isurim that make up the isur mora. Number one, you're not supposed to stand in the place which is designated for your father to stand in. This is a little bit more rare in our time than it was back in the day in the Gemara, but within a group situation, when they give a chance for each member of the group to stand up and address the group, each person has a place which is designated for him where he stands. And if your father has a place which is designated for him, you're not allowed to stand in that place. Lo Yoshev Mekomo, that's more common in our time. You have, for example, at a table, this is your father's seat. Lososos Dvarov, you're not allowed to contradict your father. There's a whole issue here in Poskim, whether or not you're allowed to argue with your father in Torah learning, perhaps in a dialogue which is more theoretical, that's okay, but to contradict your father in a practical ruling, halach l'maisa, that's all more complicated. And finally, lo machrio. Let's say your father is involved in some sort of controversy or debate, and you stick your head in between these two chachamim, and you say, you know what, I think my father's right. As if to say, I'm great enough to make that determination. It means the chiddush is not only in the case where you agree with the opposition party, that would be Sosa's Dvar, but even if you agree with your father's position, that too is considered chutzpah, and you're not allowed to do that. Now, whether this last category applies, shalo bifnei aviv, that's an issue in the poskim, and this is all codified in Yoredeya Siman Reish Mem. So those are the four Isurim that are enumerated here on the Mora. Kibud is Ma'achil u'mashke malbish u'machase machtes u'motzi, six pu'ulos. They all represent what we call Sherus Haguf, to bring physical pleasure to your father. You feed him, you give him drink. If he's cold, you put clothes on him. That's called machase, malbish, machnes, umotzi, take him in and take him out. Although the Braisa focuses on what a father, both in terms of kibud and mora, the same dinim apply vis-a-vis one's mother, as we've discussed in the previous sugya. Iboiluhu, the Gemara has a suffix. And now we begin Daf Lamed Beis. Michel Mi, the monies that are necessary for kibud, for example, to buy food for your father, who has to foot the bill? Does the money come from the son's pocket or his bank account, or from the support of the father? And therefore, if the father is unwilling to shell out for that machal or mashke, the son is therefore exonerated from his obligation. So Gemara records a machlokis. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Michel Ben. Rabbi Yehuda says that the son has to support this endeavor of Kibarav from his own pocket. Rabbi Nosson Bar Oshi Omar Michel Av. All the expenditures have to be provided financially by the father himself. The son is not obligated to spend his own money on the mitzvah of kibbutz. And if the father therefore is unwilling to sign the check and foot the bill, the son is therefore exempt from the mitzvah. Oru le rabbanon, the rabbanon paskin, le rav yirmiya, the amri le, others have a different transmission, le braid rav yirmiya, keman diomar michel av, that the father has to pay for the machel and the mashke. And that's how we paskin again in Yoredeya Simon Reish Mem, that Kibud Avayim is Michel Av. Keep in mind that this definition in Halacha is a bit ambiguous. It's not crystal clear how in all cases we apply to it. For example, there's a famous case where a son had to take a train from his local town in order to service his father in a different town. And he didn't have the money, or he didn't want to spend the money for the train. And this question came up in front of Reb Chaim. Until the father, the son claimed, until my father sends me the ticket or pays for the ticket, I'm not chayef. And Reb Chaim said, you have to walk barefoot and walk by foot. Meaning, what Reb Chaim wanted to say is that if you're buying something in order to feed your father, etc., etc., that's Michel Av. But if you're talking about transportation in order to get to your father, okay, who says you have to take a train? And if you don't have the money for a train, it doesn't mean you're exempt from the mitzvah. You'll find a way of going by foot. Now again, obviously, this is a problem. To what extent, you know, it's you can't walk across or take a hike across the entire Ukraine. At what point can the son say to the father, if you don't support the travel, like, there's no way I can come, and if I'm exempt, it's Michel Av. Meisve, the Gemara has a kasha. The Torah says, Kaved es avich v'simecha. V'nemar, and we had the Brisa made the analogy to Kaved es Hashem mihoncha, which means you have to be mechabed your parents the way you mechabed Hashem. Mala halon in the case of kabed es Hashem mihoncha bechisaron kis, you have to spend money for any mitzvah. You have to spend money. That's what you have to do. Afkan here too, kibud avayim bechisaron kis. You have to spend money for the mitzvah kibud avayim. The e amit michel av my nafkale mine. What halach is he deriving here? If it's Michel Av, there's no chisaron kis for the ben. The Gemara answers that the case that we're dealing with is lebitul melacha. The Brisa wants to know if, let's say, the son has a job, he gets paid for his labor per hour, and if he has to take off time from his work in order to service his father, he's going in effect suffer a financial loss, chisaron kis. So then the halacha is, but chisaron kis, indeed, he's going to have to take that loss of salary, of earnings, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of kibud av va'em, and in that sense, it's kaved es Hashem mihoncha. It's like the case of buying a lulav in order to be mechabed Hashem. And there are Rishonim who say that herein lies the distinction between two concepts that are very similar but fundamentally different. One is hefsed, money out of pocket, spent out of pocket, and the other is minias revach, when a person can't earn new monies that are coming in. And when we paskin kibud av, michel av, that's only to protect the ben from suffering a hefsed. He doesn't have to write out the check and support the food, etc. But if we're talking about bitul melacha, that's on a different level. That's only Minyas Revach, and that indeed the son will have to suffer for the sake of Kibbut Av, if need be, and that's derived from this Hekesh, this analogy to Kvod Hashem. Toshma, we have a Braisa in Masechet Maaser Sheni, and perhaps that could shed a light on this question about Kibbut Av Mishal Av, or Kibbut Av Mishal Ben. Shnei Achim, Shnei Shutvim, Av Ubno, Rav Vitalmido Podim, Ze Laze Maaser Sheni, Umachilin Ze Laze Maaser Oni. In the first case, we're talking about fruits or grains that grew in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a chiyuv of being a mafrish truma gedola, which is given to the kohanim, as well as ma'aser rishon that's given to the levim, ma'aser sheni that has to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten in Yerushalayim, and in replacement of ma'aser sheni on the third and sixth years of the Shemitah cycle, to be mafresh ma'aser oni that's given to the oni. If a person is poda ma'aser sheni, in order to bring his ma'aser to Yerushalayim, he can't schlep one-tenth of his produce, so he converts it over to damim, then he has to add what's called a chomesh. Roughly, let's call it 20% of the value of the crop. If, on the other hand, someone else is poda on your behalf, that person who's poda doesn't have to add a chomesh. And this braisa teaches us that achim, or shutvim, or rav talmid, even though there's a very special affiliate, a very special love relationship here, a close relationship, nevertheless, it's still called acher as far as poda is concerned. In the pidyon process, there's no need to add a chomesh. But we're interested in the second halacha here formulated in this price, and that's machilim ze maser oni. Which means that when a person is mafresh maser oni, he can actually give the maser to his father, if his father's in need. Ve'i amrit Michel ben is nimtza porea chovo Michel aniyim. If that, let's call it 10% of his income is designated for the aniyim, and he wants to now give it to his father, assuming that a chiyuv of Kibbut Av is Michel Ben, this is an analysis from the elimination of the opposite. If we were to assume and argue that Kibbut Av is Michel Ben, then the Torah commands a person to spend his own money for the sake of Kibbut Av. And now he's spending his Miser money, which is meant to be earmarked for the Aniyim, with money that he has to spend for his father anyway. He'd be Chayiv in Kibbut Av in any event. Lo Tzrich, the Gemara says, the Braisa needs it for the case of Ha'adofa. It means that even if I argue that the halach is Kibbut Av Michel Ben, and the father will be supported by the son from Michael and Mashke, from the son's own bank account, that's only what we call Mida Beinonis. That's the average medium sum of money. But if the father needs more than that, more than the average, which is called Hadafa Miloshin Tosefes, that the Ben is allowed to spend Meiser Oni money, because that's above and beyond the financial obligation of Kibbut Av. Kibbut Av, even if I hold Michel Ben, the ceiling, the maximum he has to spend is up to, but not beyond, the Midah Beinonis. Whatever he gives to the father beyond the Midah Beinonis, that's the subject of this Braisa, and then there's no Poreach Chov. He's not obligated under the law of Kibbut Av to spend that extra money that comes from, can come from Maaser Oni. Ihachi, if that be the case, Hainu de Katani Allah, in the end of this brisa, this is part of the brisa we didn't see. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Tavo mi era lemisha machil es aviv maser ani. A whammy should come upon he who uses his maser ani to pay for food for his father. Ila dafa my nafkemina. What's the evil that he's doing here? Why does he deserve a me'era, some sort of a klala, since he's spending monies that under the law of kibud av he would not be obligated to spend? And the Gemara answers, afilu hachi, even though, according to the strict letter of the law, he is not undermining his mitzvah of ma'aser ani. He is fulfilling, technically, his mitzvah ma'aser ani. But nevertheless, zila bei milsa. This is called a zilzel. Zila means a zilzel. It's below the dignity of the father. It's a bizarre and embarrassment to the father that in order for the son to fulfill, again, this is hadafa, but in order for the son to feed his father, he needs to dip down into ma'aser ani. The son doesn't have the wherewithal to do so and give this hadafa, this tosefis, to his father unless he dips into his ma'aser ani. That itself is a bizayon to the father that he has to be supported by ma'aser ani gelt of his own son. Tashma shalu es Rabbi Eliezer ad heichan kibud avaim. What is the outer limit of kibud avaim? Omer lahem kidei sheyitol arniki. When his father came and grabbed the son's wallet, v'yizrekenu l'yam b'funav, and he throws it in to the yam in front in the presence of his son, ve'eino machlimo, and yet the son doesn't say anything humiliating to his father. I amrit mishal av. If we're going to argue, and this is the way we paskin, the maskona is that the monies spent for kibud av come from the father. Is meinafke lemine? In other words, if this wallet of money, wallet of dollars, belongs to the son, then what right does the son have to object to his father? What was the havamina that yachli menu? After all, he's not losing anything because this is the obligation of kibud av. And the father, in effect, owns the money. He has rights to the money of the son for any kind of a kibud. I'm a little bit confused about this because kibud fits under those six categories here, none of which includes taking money and throwing it into the yam. Why would that come under the issue of kibud av and mishal av? So my understanding of this Gemara was based on the Rambam, that we're talking about a case where the father threw the arniki of the son into the yam. However, the alternative pshat, if we leave the Rambam on the side for a moment, would be that the case, the metzias, the hechatimtz that we're dealing with is where the father threw his own arniki into the yam. It couldn't be the arniki of the ben, because we're maintaining now Mishal Av, that any monies used for kibud av have to come from the father. So it must be that the father is throwing the arniki of money that he owns. And if that be the case, why are we saying any machlimo if the son is not losing anything? And that's the halacha of kibud av mishal av, that the son doesn't have to suffer any financial outlay. So then why, what was the havamina that the father, that the son would be machlim his father, he would get upset and make a big deal about it, a big to-do? So the Gemara answers that ein chinami. We're talking about a case, as you said, the premise of the Hava Min Lamakshan is correct, that the father threw his own arniki into the yam. Otherwise, it's not kibud av. But B'roi liyarsho. That monies would have been transferred after the death of the father over to the son. And the son is now losing a major part of his Yerusha. You would think that he would be machlim his father and try to do whatever he could to prevent his father from doing so. Kamash Malan, that even though he's losing his Yerusha, perhaps we could shed a little light on this strange story here about a father who takes his arnike in front of his son and throws it into the Yam. Is this a deranged father? He's suffering from Alzheimer's. V'chiha, the Gemara says, you'll understand this story with a similar tale. The Rabba Bar Rav Huna. What was the case of Rabba Bar Rav Huna? The Rav Huna kari shiroi bianpe Rabba Bray. The Rav Huna actually ripped up a silk garment in the presence of Rabba, his son. Omar, what was Rav Huna thinking? He's not talking out loud, but perhaps to himself. Azel, I will go. Echze, and I will check out. Irosak, ilorosak. If this action will bring his son, meaning Rabba, to a state of anger. And again, even though Rav Huna was ripping his own garment, it was still quite a challenge for Rabba, because he, Rabba, would indirectly at least suffer a loss, because any possessions of his father, Rav Huna, would automatically be transferred over to Rabba, his son, through Yerusha. And that's what a father might do, just to, in a sense, test his son in a situation that might incur the son's anger, to see whether the son could control his anger. The Gemara is amazed at such a story. It doesn't make any sense. V'dilma rasach, isn't he, Rav Huna, the father, placing his son Rava into a very precarious situation, a kind of a lifnei iver situation, where the son might be tempted, almost intuitively, naturally, to get angry? He may say things to his father which are inappropriate, and he'll violate the chiv kibud av. The ka'avra, and the father, therefore, of Huna, will violate al lifnei iver lo siten michshol. He's placing a stepping stone in front of his son. The Gemara answers, which is in itself a problem, demachile likare. The Rav Huna had already decided up front that he would mochel on his kavod. And in event that Rava would indeed get angry, it would not be considered a violation of the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, and we can discuss mechila a little bit later on. The Gemara says it doesn't matter. For ka'avar mishum bal tashchis, to rip up a garment that has value is a violation of bal tashchis. And the Gemara answers, the avid lay b'fum v'yani. He ripped it in a way that it could be easily rewoven. As he ripped it on the seams. And that's not called hashchasa. The Gemara says, I still don't understand. If you're telling me he ripped it up in a way that clearly it could be re-sewn, then Dilma Mishum Hachi Lo Rasach, then the whole test, the whole experiment fails. It doesn't make any sense. Because the son would not get angry. It's not a serious loss of the beged. The Ovid Le B'Shas Rischei. Rav Huna did it at a moment that his son Rabba was angry. And when a person is angry, he will naturally get angry even for a ripping that doesn't cause a loss of money. And this was all part of Rav Huna's test to see if Rabba would get angry. The Gemara now records a whole dialogue amongst the Amoraim, and this is going to shed a light on how a person, a son, should speak to his father, especially in a situation where he thinks his father has made some sort of lamdasho, halachic mistake. And we said before, Lo Yistars Dvaro, according to some poskim at least, will apply even in the Torah field. Masni Le Rabbi Chezkel Le Rami Bray. Rabbi Chezkel was teaching his son Rami a Brisa. What did it say in the Brisa that Rabbi Chezkel was teaching Rami? We have two categories that we're going to focus on out of four categories, but two categories of Mechaive Misa. Those individuals who were condemned by the court to death for capital crime, one is called Nisrafim and one is called Niskalim. These are two out of the four categories of Misas Bezdin. And in this case, there was a taroves, a mixture of different criminals, some of which were nisrafim, were condemned for sreifa. Sreifa means when they pour hot molten lead down his throat, burn up his insides. Niskol is when they push him off a high ledge. Rabbi Shimon Omer Yidonu Biskila. If you don't know in any individual case who's chayev sreifa, who's chayev skila, then we take the lesser punishment. We don't have a right to punish him and assume that he deserves the higher kind of more terrifying death. So we choose the lower of the two deaths. That's Reb Shimon's opinion, and that's skila, because skila relative to sreifa is kal, hasreifa chamura, and we don't have rights to kill in this mixture someone who might be chayev only skila. We can't give him sreifa chamura. That's the brisa that Rabbi Chezkel taught his son Rami. Now, the language that Rabbi Chezkel used in the brisa of Nisrafim Biniskalim seems to indicate that the minority were Nisrafim and the majority were Niskalim. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda Bray, and when Rabbi Chezkel taught his son, I made a mistake before about the name of the son. Sorry, the name of the son is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Beno Shel Rabbi Chezkel turns to his father and he says, Abba lo tisnaya hachi. This is not the way you should teach the halacha, that nisarvu nisrafim biniskalim, because that implies that the rove is niskalim, as if a few Nisrafim got mixed up with a large group of Niskalim. Because my area, why do you need to say that any individual coming out of this Tarov should be judged for Skila because Sreifa is Chamura? You have to give him the lesser punishment. Typically, the Reuven Niskalim. If you're telling me that the majority group was the Niskalim, then we should apply the halacha of Kol Deparish Meruva Parish. And therefore, we should assume that any individual came from the Rov. It's irrelevant which is the Chamur, the Misa Chamur, which is the Misa Kala. Ella, but I suggest a substitute Girsa. Hachi Isnaya. This is the way you should teach the Halacha, says Rabbi Yehud, his father. Haniskalim Banisrafim. Nisrafim were the larger group. The Niskalim, a few, got mixed up into the larger group. Since the Rov is Nisrafim, if we apply the universal halacha of Azlin and Basaruba, and we rely on Rov, then any individual comes out of this Tarovet should be judged as a Nisrafim. But nevertheless, we cannot do that because we can't be Machmer and Misa and give a Misa Chamura when the possibility is that he's only Chayav a Misa Kala. Rabbi Chezkel, the father, responded, Omer Leh, he was just flabbergasted. He says, Hachi, if you're correct in your logic, then Ema Seifa? How are you going to interpret the Seifa? Chachomim Omrim. The Chachomim retort to Rabbi Shimon. Yidonu B'Sreifa Shaskila Chamura. We have to use we have to implement the death sentence of Sreifa, because Sreifa relative to Skila is Kala. And therefore we have to judge any one of these people for the Misa Kala. Is my area de Skila Chamura Tepakle Deruba Nisrafim Ninhu? Why do the Chacham have to say that Nidon Bisrefa because of the relatively light nature of Srefa? Why not just say that since it was, as you put it, Rabbi Yehuda, Niskolim Binisrafin, the Niskolim were the minority and the Nisrafin was the larger, we have to give Srefa because called the parish Miruba parish. Amalei, Rabbi Yehuda defended himself against his father, Rabbi Yechezkel. Hasam, Rabbanan Huda Kamri Leila Rabbi Shimon. The way you read the Seifa is the Chachamim retorting to Rabbi Shimon. And when the Chachamim said that Skila Chamura, that wasn't really the reasoning and the logic behind their conclusion of Yidonu Bisrefa. The reason why Yidonu Bisrefa is indeed because of Azlina Basaruba, but that which they said, the Ka'amrit, Shasrefa Chamura, and therefore we should give Srefa because that's Kula. Srefa Chamura, lo, Skila Chamura. Chachamim are just arguing with Rav Shimon on his turf, on his territory. Rabbi Shimon insisted, Yidonu B'Skila, because that's the relatively lesser Mises Bezdin, the lighter Mises Bezdin. So Chachamim say, that's not true. It's not true that Skila is the lighter Misa, because in fact, it's just the opposite. Skila is Chamura, Srefa is the lighter of the two. So you're telling me Skila is Kala, I'm telling you Skila is Chamura. In truth, my opinion is that Srefa is the appropriate Misa here in this case based on Rov. But if you're going to tell me that you want to give Skila because Skila is relatively Kal vis-a-vis Srefa, that's not true. In fact, it's just the opposite. Srefa is Kal, and therefore you should, in the choice between Skila and Srefa, you should agree that it has to be Srefa. I would say it has to be Srefa because Azlina Basaruba, but you have to agree that it has to be Srefa because Srefa is relatively light. Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel, who's a third party here in this give and take between Rabbi Chezkel, the father, and Rabbi Yehuda's son, he turns to Rabbi Yehuda and he says, Shinina. Shinina means you're a sharp, wise person. But lo temele li avuch hachi. With all due respect, I don't think your language was appropriate. Because you said to your father, lo tisnaya hachi. Meaning, you made a mistake. That's not the language that's appropriate for a son to talk to his father. Tisanya. This is an even more severe case where a son witnesses his father violating the Torah law, and the Radbaz in Hilchos Mamrim derives from this that there's a chiyuv covered even vis-a-vis one's father who's a Rasha. It could be possible that the case here is where the father is not necessarily amazed. In any event, you saw your father, you witnessed him violating the Torah law. Al Yomer lo, you shouldn't say to him, Abba, avart al divrei Torah. You have to be very careful about the language that you use. You, father, violated the Torah law. No. That's inappropriate speech. El omer lo abba kach kosev haTorah. Just tell him this is what it says in the Torah. Let the father figure it out on his own. The truth is, the Gemara says that even kach kosev haTorah is not an appropriate language. That too is tziure kometzirele. That's going to cause undue anguish to the father, and the son is stepping out of line by saying that El omer lo abba Nikra kosev haTorah kach. Not that kach kosev haTorah, that, you know, you're violating the Torah law, but look at the Torah. There's a pasuk. Let's read the pasuk together, and then the father will draw the appropriate conclusions. Elazar ben Masya Omer. This goes back to the brisa that we spoke about. Kibud Av Va'Em. Abba Omer Ashkeni Mayim. His father asked for a cup of water. And just at that moment, the son was busy with a mitzvah. Mitzvah lasos. For example, he has to go to bury the dead, or to be malava the dead to the final resting place. It says, Elazar ben Masya, maniach ani kvod av. In such a case, I don't have the opportune moment, the free moment to be involved in mashke and bringing a drink to my father. Vi oses ha-mitzvah, but rather I have to take first, my first priority now is for the mitzvah, and I'll be docha kibud av ha'em. Shani vi abba chayovim v'mitzvah. The same logic that we applied in Dine Kedima with regard to a father and a mother, that although I have a chiv kibud to my mother, my chiv kibud to my father takes priority because me and my mother share the chiv kibud to my father. Here too, me and my father share the chiv kibud for the mitzvah, the kvod Hashem. Isi ben Yehuda Omer, efshal mitzvah liyos sal yedechem. However, he adds one condition. There is one limitation rule. Let's say he can find someone else to do the mitzvah. Is teyos al yedechem v'yelechu v'kvod aviv. When he has no opportunity, no other possibility of achieving the mitzvah, implementing his chovah, unless he does it himself, that's when Elazar ben Masya is correct, that kibud av ha'em will have to be put on the back burners. But if he can find a shliach, someone else to fulfill that mitzvah, then the son should dedicate himself to bringing water for his father. And the Gemara paskins, Omer Rav Masna Halacha Ki Isi Ben Yehuda, that if the other mitzvah is efshal de acherim, he should not postpone the mitzvah of Kibud Av. Omer Rav Yitzchak Bar Shilo, Omer Rav Masna, Omer Rav Chizda, Ha'av Shemochal Kvodo, Kvodo Machul. We had three different isurim with regard to a father. We had the Isur Hakah, we had the Isur Klola, and those two have to do with Tsar. They don't lend themselves to Mechila. However, there's a mitzvah of Kibud, and with regard to Kibud, if the father waives his rights, his demands for Kibud, then the son is not obligated to do so, because Kibud Avim lends itself to Mechila. You might think that Kibud Avim, since it's upgraded to the level of Kvod Hashem, it becomes almost like a mitzvah ben odom lamakom. The father doesn't have the right to be okay the mitzvah. Kamashmal, no. The father does have the right. The kibud is directed towards the father. The father possesses the demand for kibud, and therefore he himself could waive that demand. In contrast, however, harav shemachal kvodo, ein kvodo machul. The Rebbe represents Torah. And the cover that goes to the Rebbe is kvod to the Torah. And therefore, the Rebbe is not the Bailim. He doesn't have possession over this chiv kavod. Rav Yosef, however, disagrees. Omar, afilu arav shemochal kvodu kvodu mochul, shenemar v'ashem holech lifneim yomam. Bnei Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim, in Parshas Bo, the Torah tells us that Hashem went in front of them during the day, bi'amud hanan, l'nchosam haderech, and laila, bi'amud eish, l'hoir lehem, l'leches yom v'loila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate Rav, was Meshamesh, the people of Israel,
that indicates that the Rav can be mochlad as kavod. Rava is not impressed with this raya. He deflects it. Haki hashta. Is it really fair to make this equation between HaKadosh Baruch and the Rav? Hasma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alma Dileihu Visora Dileihu Dilehi Machale Liyakara. The world belongs to God. The Torah belongs to God. He, with a capital H, has the right to be Mochel, his kavod. But here, in the case of a Rav, a Talmud Chacham, Torah Dilehu, can you really define the Torah as his? He only represents the kavod of the Torah. And here we turn to the Daf Lamed Beis, Amud Beis. Rava himself, the Gemara reports, changed his mind. Hadar, Amar Rava, Rava came back and he said, in. You know what? The logic is correct. Torah, Dilehi. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu possesses the Torah, so too Kaviyochel, the Talmud Chacham, whose master Torah knowledge, he, so to speak, possesses, owns the Torah, and the covenant Torah is his. He can be mochel the ksiv. The pasuk says in Tillim, we'll read the whole pasuk, Ki'im, b'soras Hashem cheftzo, u'v'soraso, yege yom v'layla. The Torah is called, at the beginning of this pasuk, Torah Hashem, it belongs to Hashem. And yet, in the end of the pasuk, it's called Torah so. It means once the Talmud Chacham has mastered the knowledge of Torah, it becomes his, the Talmud Chacham's own Torah, and therefore he has a right to be mochel on his kavod. Later on, we'll discuss the case of a melech who's mochel on his kavod. Eini, the Gemara asks, is it really true that a rav can be mochel on his kavod? V'harava mashki bei hilula debrei, at the wedding of his son, Rava stood and he gave out the drinks, he poured the drinks of those who participated in the wedding of his son. Vidal le kasa l'Rav Papa u'l'Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yeshua. When he stood up with a glass in order to offer drinks to Rav Papa Rav Hemnuna, v'kamu mikamei, they stood up to receive that cup, and this was an act of standing, of deference for Rava, on the part of Rav Papa and Rav Huna. It wouldn't be respectful for them in a sitting position to have Rava service them. Then, as a continuation of the same story, Rava picks up the cup, or maybe the pitcher, to pour for Rav Mori and Rav Pinchas Brei de Rav Chisda, v'lo kam v'kameh. They didn't stand for, out of deference, out of honor for Rava. Ikpid Rava was makpid on them. He wasn't happy about that. V'yomar, and he said to Rav Mori and to Rav Pinchas, Hanu Rabbanon, Rabbanon, V'hanu Rabbanon, Lav Rabbanon, he talks to them in third person. He says, these Chachamim are Chachamim, and these Chachamim are not Chachamim. Meaning, when you didn't stand up in front of me, you were like saying, well, we're Chachamim, we don't have to stand for him. But Rav Papa and Rav Huna, they are not Chachamim, and that's why they had to stand up. That was the Kpeda of the Rebbe of Rava for these two Talmidei Chachamim. And implicit here is that a Rav is not being mochel, not capable of being mochel on his kavod. That al pidin they had a chi of kavod, even though the Rav here was pouring their drinks. Again, you could ask, was Rav really mochel on his kavod if he expected, he anticipated that they, the chachamim, on the receiving end, would stand in front of him? Maybe that's not called mechila on his kavod. The Gemara says, Vesu, and furthermore, I can ask you another question. Rav Papa, Havimashke Behilula Diaba Barbre. Rav Papa was pouring the wine at the wedding of Abba, his son. Vidolile Kasa, Lerabi Yitzchak Brei, Rav Huna, Velokam Mikameh, Vikvid. Again, the same story. He was pouring for Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak didn't stand in honor of Rav Papa. Rav Papa was Makvid. So you see that Rav Shemochal Kvodo Ein Kvodo Machul. The Gemara answers, "Afilu hachi hidur mevad le bo." There are two dinim in kibud rav. There's one absolute kibud which is mechayev amida, and there's a lower case kibud which is just hidur. Instead of standing full, you know, with a full standing position, you somehow move your neck, the upper part of your body, in a sitting position to show that you really want to stand. So in these two stories of Rav and Rav Papa being makpid, is because even if he could be mochel on his kavod, because Einu Chinami Rav Shemochel Kvodu Moch, but still, on a Talmud's perspective, from the Talmud's receiving end, there's at least a chiyuv, minimum chiyuv of hidur, and that's why he was mocked, because they weren't mahadir. The Gemara now goes on to address the question of a nasi and a melech. Can these be mochel on the kavod of Rav Ashi afilu l'mandi omar, even if we accept the opinion Rav shemochel kvodu kvodu mochel? Nasi shemochel kvodu ein kvodu mochel, if we can argue that the Rav owns his Torah and he can be mochel thereof. But in the case of a nasi, his kavod is the kvod of the nasius. The melech represents malchus. It's not his personal kavod, he doesn't own it. And therefore, there's no possibility of kavod of mechila. Meisvei, I'm going to ask you a question from a story that took place at a wedding. Maisa, b'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, b'Rabbi Tzadok, shayu mesubim b'beis hamishta. And what was the occasion of this marriage ceremony? It was b'no shel Rav Gamliel, the son of Rav Gamliel, who was getting married. V'hayu Rav Gamliel omed u'mashke aleihem. Rav Gamliel was pouring the drinks on behalf of these great tanoim. Nasa anakos l'Rabbi Eliezer v'lo nitolo. Why? Because Rav Gamliel was the nasi, and Rabbi Eliezer felt that there's no way that Rav Gamliel as the nasi can be mochel on his covet, so he can't be Meshamesh, he can't service Rabbi Eliezer, because the quote of the Nasius, the son of Rav Gamliel gave the cup, L'Rabbi Yeshua v'kiblo, Amalo Rabbi Eliezer L'Rabbi Yeshua, Maze Yoshua, what is it? How can you possibly accept it from Rav Gamliel? Anu Yoshvim v'Rav Gamliel b'Rebbe Omeidu Mashkel Leinu, Rav Gamliel has the status of a Nasi B'Yisrael, and you're allowing him to serve you? Amalei, Rav Yeshua said to Rav Eliezer in response, Matzinu gadol mimenu sheshimesh. We find someone who's even greater than Rav Gamliel, who served others. Avram gadol ador hayu, he was the greatest of his generation. He certainly had the status of a Nasi, or the equivalent thereof. V'kasuv bo, when the Malachim came to visit him, and the pasuk, I'll read the whole pasuk, says, "Vayika chema v'cholav u'ben bakar asher os v'yitin lifneim v'hu omid aleim takas ha'is v'yochelu." He, Avram Avinu, was meshamish the malachim who came when he was in the third day after his meal. He was sick. You see that even the gadol adar and certainly the nasi can be mochel on his kavod v'shematomru, and don't argue that kimalachi asheris nidmulo, that Avram Avinu was fooled into thinking that these were. What was the situation? Did Avraham Avinu believe that they were Malachim, or did he believe that they were Arvim? And the Gemara now argues that Avraham Avinu was not aware of the fact that they were Malachim, so you can't argue that the reason why he was Meshamish them is because he thought they were angels from heaven. Lo Nidmalo Eli Arvim. He didn't know that they were Malachim. He mistakenly thought they were Arvim. And nevertheless, he was Meshamish them. You see that he could be Mochel on his Kavod. Anu, the Anu, Lo Yehei Rav Gamliel B'Rebbe, Omeidu Mashkel Leinu. I mean, granted that Rav Gamliel is the Nasi Adar, but does he shine to Avraham Avinu? And now Rabbi Tzadok is going to bring another source to prove his point. Amalehem, Rabbi Tzadok turns to them, to Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and he says to them, Admose atem manichim kvodo shel makom, v'atem oskim v'kavod abrios. You're trying to bring a raya from the case of Avraham Avinu, that he was a creature created by God. And now you want to bring a raya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mashiv Ruchos, Umal Nesim, Umorid Motar, Matzmiach Adama, V'Yarech Shulchan Lefnei Kol Echa V'Yecha. Look what God in heaven, the creator of the winds, and the rains, and the grains, and yet he prepares a table for every single person. And we have to refuse to allow Rav Gamliel to stand and service us. Eliyidmar Hachiyidmar. Omer Avashi Afilu Mind the Omer Nasi Shemachal Kvodo Kvodo Machul Melech Shemachal Kvodo Ein Kvodo Machul Shenemar Som Tasim Olecha Melech Shetei A Maso Olecha. A Melech does not have the right to wave his kavod. And if he would do so, Ein Kvodo Machul. I can grant you that a Nasi, who's the Godel Ador, could be Mochel on his kavod, and even Rav Gamliel could be Mochel on his kavod, but not. But not a melech. The Marsha raises here the obvious question. Didn't we have Rabbi Tzadok before who said that we can prove that a Nasi could be mochel from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be mochel on his covenant? Why not learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even a melech could be mochel on his covenant? HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly is a melech. Says the Marsha, Yeshlom HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sha'olam Shalov HaMalchu Shalo Yochlu Limchol Aleha. V'chei Nasi HaNasiyas Yishalo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is certainly the Bailim over his Malchus, he can be Mochel. He's the Bailim over his Nesius, he can be Mochel. But in the case of a Melech Boss of Adam, he's not the Bailim over his Malchus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who appointed him as Melech. Ein HaMelucha Shalo, and the Melucha itself doesn't belong to the Melech. And therefore, Ein HaMelech Yochol Limchol Al Kvodo. Now the Gemara goes on to talk about the mitzvah of standing in front of a Chacham, in front of a Zaken, Tana Rabbanon. The Torah says, in Parashas Kedoshim, they say, V'tokum, Yochol, Afilu B'nei Zaken Ashmai. When the Torah says you have to stand for Seva, for someone who's older in years, does that even apply to a Rosh or to an Amoretz called an Ashmai? Baal Ashma. Ashma means he's guilty of sin. Talmud Lomar. The Pasuk says, Vadarta Pnei Zaken. And what does that mean? Zaken? V'yein Zaken Ela Chacham. We're not talking about some sort of an ignoramus. We're talking about a mitzvah of Hidur Pnei Chacham. Shenemar. With regard to Moshe Rabbeinu appointing judges for the Sanhedrin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Esfo li shivim ish mi ziknei Yisrael, the 70 elders, zakenim, war chachamim. The Torah uses the term zakenim, and we understand that zikna in this context means chachma. Zaken is mishakana, chachma. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, what do we want to derive from this pasuk? Ein zaken elami shekana chachma shenemar Hashem kanani reishis darko. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says we can circumvent the need for this kind of a hekesh, if you will, to the pasuk that refers to the Sanhedrin, the Ziknei Yisrael, in order to prove that Vadarta Pnei Zaken really refers to a Chacham. Forget about that. There's no question that the Taich, the simple interpretation of Zaken in the Pasuk Vadarta Pnei Zaken is Mishachana Chachma. Because the word Zaken is what we call notrikun. You take apart the word and out of one word you create two words. And Zaken, if you take the Zion and you add a hey to it, it becomes zeh. And the kuf nun, add a hey to it, it becomes kana. Kinyan, in general, refers to chachma. And therefore, zake means zeh, kana, chachma. Shenemar Hashem kanani reishis darko. And with referring to Hashem kanani, we're talking about chachma. But you see from the word kanani, that there's a kinyan here, and the zaken is kona chachma. The Braisa continues and says, Yochel, I might think that if you see a zaken, is yamod mifonav mimokom rachok, he's on the other side, far away, he comes in, you have to stand, and he doesn't even see you. Talmud Lomar, it says, Mipnei Seva, Takum Vehadarta, Pnei Zaken, what is Takum Vehadarta? Lo Amarti Kima El Bemokum Sheish Hidur. So there's an equation here between Takum, standing, and Hidur, which implies that you're being Mahader and Mechabed, the Talmud Chacham. It's got to be Nikar, it's got to be clear, it's got to be recognizable. If you're within Dalet Amos of the Zaken, that's called Kima Sheish Ba Hidur. But if it's a distance that's greater than 4 amos, and it's not Nikar that he's standing L'Kavod of the Zaken of the Talmud Chacham, that's not a mitzvah of Takum, because it's not Kima Sheish Ba Hidur. Yachal Yadrenu B'Mamon, I might think that the Torah is commanding us in Hidur to spend money and give it as a gift, as a grant to the Chacham, Talmud Lomar. It says in the Pasuk, they say, Takum Vehadarta. What's Takum Vehadarta? There's a Hekeshia between Hidur and Kima. Ma Kima, when you stand up, Ein Bachisar, because it doesn't cost you anything, you take no loss. Af Hidur, in the same Pasuk, which is being, by analogy, is pertaining to Amida Ein Bo, Chisaron Kis. So the Hidur doesn't have to require spending money on behalf of the Chacham. Yachal Yamami Ponami Beis HaKisa Beis HaMerchatz. If you and the Zaken are found in the same bathhouse or bathroom, you have to stand for him. Talmud Lomar, again, Takum Vadarta, Lomarti Kima Elo B'Mokum Sheish Hidur. To be Mechavid someone in a bathhouse, that's not appropriate. That's not a place, a location for Hidur, and therefore there's no Chiv Kima. Yachal, I might think that when a person sees a zaken, he's allowed to turn away, avert his eyes. Yatzim Enov, Kemisha Loro, make believe he doesn't see him. And therefore, if Re'iyah engenders the Chiv Kibud and Amida, he doesn't see him. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, and they save a Takum V'yareisa Melukecha. After the Pasuk says, V'adat Pnei Zaken, it says Yareisa. And what does Yareisa mean? Dovar Amasur L'Lev. It's something that's not obvious. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what goes on in a person's heart. Nemar Bo V'yareisa Melukecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how to read your mind. You have to act in a way that is absolutely indicative of fear and awe of God. God knows what's in your heart. So even though maybe you could fool the spectators, the onlookers, who think that you didn't see the Zaken, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows you saw the Zaken, and the Re'i itself is Mechayev. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Minayin L'Zaken Shelo Yatriach. How do we know that a Chacham should not walk down in such a way that everyone's going to have to stand in front of him and be Matriach them? Talmud Lomar, it says in the Pasuk of Hidur, Hadar Tepnei Zaken V'Yareisa. And here there's a hekish between Zaken, the Chacham himself, and V'Yareisa, and his Yiras Hashem. Hashem will know that he went out of his way to be Matriach the Tzibur, to be Dorish his Kavod, and have people stand on his behalf. Isi ben Yehuda Omer, from the fact that the Torah says when they save a takum, is afilu called seva b'mashma, even if he's a zaken ashmoi, where we said before that it says zaken to exclude an ashmoi. Zaken means mishakana chachma. Here we're talking about a total ignoramus. Nevertheless, there is a chiyuv of kima, even for an ashmoi. Why is this so, according to Yisman Yudah? Because the Torah puts the emphasis on seva. Seva means kol seva b'mashma. Seva indicates an older person. He's older in years. I don't know if that means he's above 60, he's above 70, perhaps he's above 80. I don't know exactly what the age is for seva. That we have to study. We usually say ben shishim lezikna. In any event, Seva is an older age, the hoary age, and that's when there's a chiyuv of kima, says Isi ben Yudin. Then it doesn't matter what the level of chachma is, or his tzidkus. The Gemara asks Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Hainu Tanakama. After all, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that Misha kana chachma, that's a person who obligates kima. Isn't that the Tanakama here of Isi ben Yehuda? So what's the difference between the two? Ika beinayu yanik v'chachim. What if you have a youngster who's relatively young, but he's a chacham? The Tanakhama says that let's derive from Zikne Yisrael and Sanhedrin. But the pasuk says that esfali shivim ishmi Zikne Yisrael, and zaken means a chacham. Is savar yanik v'chacham lo? Rabbi Yossi Aglili Savar Afili Yonik V'Chacham. According to the Tanakhama, it's not enough that you're a Chacham. The obligation is conditional on the fact that you're also a Zaken. You're older in years. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, on the other hand, says that Notrikin mean the Notrikin of Zaken is Zeshekana Chachma. Meaning the sole criterion here is not age, but rather wisdom. And therefore, if you have a youngster who's relatively young, but he's a chacham, then you'd have to stand for him. Like Rabbi Elazar and Azariah in the Haggadah, we're coming close to Pesach, says, Hare ani kiven shivim shana. When he was a youngster, he's only 17, we have to give him kavod. We have to stand before him, says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because the ikar shebikarim here is zakein misha kana chachma. And the Gemara now analyzes the Tamei Amachlokas, what are they arguing about? But in Mirz Hashem, we'll pick this up tomorrow. We'll stop here.